Good afternoon, brothers and sisters.
Good afternoon.
How are you all today? Alright, so have you had your lunch? Yes? So I heard that the flu and cold has been going around. Oh, yes. Yes, that's an affirmation. Very good. I myself fully recovered a few days back. Yeah. But even as I recover, I've been clearing mucus and snot. But this is okay already. So, do take care. Hydrate a lot. Have a lot of sleep. And scream if you have to. Okay, so let's go through our weekly ritual. We have a new gentleman here with us. We do this every week, so pass him the mic. Tell us your name and how you got to know about this group.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Adrian.
Adrian.
And I follow my friend. Come here.
And who is your friend?
This one.
I see. Welcome, welcome. Yes. So, do you learn chanting from him? The chanting is very nice. Yeah, I can hear from the. I was like, Thomas is here with us today. Yeah. So, who else is here for the first time? Let me see. Scan. I think there's a guy and a girl. Yes. Yeah. How's your name?
And hello, everyone. My name is also Adrian.
Also Adrian. Wow. And how? Uh huh.
My name is Chloe. So I'm here today.
So Adrian and Chloe. We have one more Chloe here in front. Yes. So how did you get to know about this group?
You just Google.
So did you Google the great, amazing Venerable Chan Kuan? What did you Google? Singapore Buddhism chanting, and you found us. Wow, this is quite amazing. you probably hit jackpot. Because in all Singapore, like, group cultivation, this is the shortest chanting you ever find. So were you looking for chanting?
Sort of, and people who can share with us with the Dharma.
Ah, okay. That part, you got it right. Yeah. Welcome. How old are you?
Going to be 30. Yes.
So in your 20s, late 20s.
Yes.
How about the other Adrian? How old are you?
33.
So close in that vicinity. Interesting. Were you looking for chanting also? No. Okay. Let's see. On my right. Season... Hello. You wave? No? Let's see. Anybody who is new with us or has not intro yourself, let me see. Okay, all the ones who are seated are season parking holders. Wait a minute. I see. Oh, okay. That's Gek Yong. I see the hair different color than I thought. Okay. Let me see. Those who are seated, first row clear. Second row clear. Is that the first row or second row? Second row. Yes. Hello. Yes.
Yeah. Hello.
Tell us your name.
Jeremy.
Yeah. Tell us, how did you get to know about this group?
My friends.
Oh. Very good. You all have introduced before, right? Have you all introduced before? Think so? Ah, never mind, I intro more time. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Good. And
I've attended a meditation class at Kobe.
Ah, I see. Good. Welcome. Okay, I think that's about it. All right. So welcome to SGC, where we have one of the shortest chanting you can find in Singapore. Yeah. We have like 15 minutes. 15 minutes is almost like the warm-up of some centers. Yeah, like the opening verse itself over in some centers is already 15 minutes. Yeah, like the Ru Xiang San is 10 over 15 minutes. Yeah. So over here, our whole chanting is 15 minutes. Yeah. The reason for that is being born and bred in Singapore, I went through a lot of the traditional Chinese group cultivation, which is easily 1.5 hours to 2 hours of solid chanting. And recently I came to an understanding about why I would always feel days, study over years back, when I was like as old as him or young as him, temples usually have no aircon, yeah, and many places don't even have fan. Yeah, you're just jumping inside, and then adults are wearing the Hai Qing, you know. So because of the Hai Qing and the layer inside, all of them perspire even more. So there's a lot of moisture, the heat, yeah. And then all the chanting, everybody is like taking in a lot of air and then expelling a lot of carbon dioxide, and then you're a small kid in the middle of them. Yeah. And then I realized one more thing, which is the incense. Yeah. There'll be tons of incense. They're like literally throwing. Yeah. If you go to the traditional one, there'll be offering of incense, right? And then midway, when it's about to burn out, they put more. There'll be this guy or auntie who will come out and... Yeah. So, all this factored in, I always felt out of breath. But feeling out of breath is the least of concern, really. Because I think for most... Yeah, I used to be like that. Except that back in the days, when we run around the temple, we would get told off, get scolded. Yeah, but every 2 years, we would still go and run around. Yeah. But because of that, plus the Chinese chanting, over the years, lesser and lesser of the youngsters stayed back. Such that by the time I was in secondary school in the mid-late 80s, my mom was like the envy of all her peers, yeah, because I was the only son who was left. Yeah, the last son standing. Then all the auntie would be like, "Aiya, Li Fangjie, 你很好命. Today she's at some other temple observing the 8 precepts. Then they're like, "Ah, Li Fangjie, 你真好命啊，你还很乖啊. Yeah. So the one thing I remember was the cha bee hoon and the kali zap cai. Yeah. Plus the very long chanting. Yeah. Some temples are better because after the long chanting, sometimes the venerable will give like a short sharing. Yeah. The sharing oftentimes revolve around, "Ah, 不要整天讲话. Yeah. So growing up, I see that more and more of the younger generation can't quite connect with that, yeah. In part because of the classical Chinese in the sutra, yeah. Even Chinese-speaking people have a hard time catching up sometimes. So, the purpose of the group cultivation is really for everybody to learn Dharma, yeah. But we didn't want to take out chanting altogether as well. because then you lose that devotional practice. So we have combination of Pali chanting with some English verses for the precepts, so that you know what you are, you know, getting into. And then we also have Chinese chanting, so that we don't get disconnected from the beautiful Chinese Mahayana tradition. But today, then we have short meditation, 15 minutes or so. And then we have Dhamma sharing. Dhamma sharing is long. Those of you who have been attending my class know that the moment Sifu has a mic, he can go on perpetually. If there's a perpetual machine in this world, you're looking at one. And today we have an interesting topic. How to quarrel effectively. I hope you all know what you're in for. Because today we're going to learn how to quarrel. How many of you came for this session because you wanted to know how to quarrel? Oh, really? Well, I've got quite a bit of things up today. Last week we learned how to communicate, how to listen mindfully and actively. So after you listen, then you must quarrel. In a way, I chose this topic. I worded it a bit provocatively, because suddenly, usually in a Buddhist context, we always have this impression like, keep quiet, cannot quarrel. Don't, when people say stupid things to you, just Amitofo. Suddenly this topic is so, antagonizing. Like, tell you to quarrel, never tell you not to quarrel, even tell you how to quarrel effectively. It's a pity my mom is not here today. She's over at the retreat because she will attest to my efficacy in quarreling. Years of experience. So, I'm the expert here. But to begin, I want to just perhaps touch on why we should not quarrel. And to do that, we have to look at a few aspects about quarreling. You all didn't know that quarreling has so much things to look at, huh? So, first, let's look at why we quarrel. Today's session will be a bit different. We will have a kid crying. This was totally unplanned. In a way, it's like this also, Quarrels are seldom planned. Did any of you ever plan your quarrel before? Like, you wake up one Saturday morning and you're like, yep, gonna quarrel today. You go to the window, you look at the sky, you look at the clouds, and then you check the wind. And then you decide, yep, good day to quarrel. If there's any day that's good to quarrel, today is it. How many of you ever plan to quarrel? No one? It's okay, I won't judge you. But then, why do we end up quarreling? Is there any point in time before we go full-blown quarrel where we actually consider why we want to quarrel? So think about that for a while, because today I want you all to participate in the answers. But to make it more interesting, don't just think about quarrels, because quarrel is quite full-blown. Many times, we may not even think that we get into quarrel before. We may think, no, I don't quarrel. I debate. I was having a discourse with that person. I was having an argument. We were having some disagreement. We agree to disagree. Have you heard of this phrase, agree to disagree? I really disagree with that phrase. I'm like, disagree, why must you still have to try to agree somewhere? You know, to me, this is the vestigial sign, you know, of this generation, of our present generation, our inability to handle conflict. That even when we are having conflict, we have to come up with something that is positive. You know, agree. No, there's something we agree, and it's the part that we disagree. It's like, come on, just disagree lah. It's okay. Yeah. So, call it a quarrel, call it an argument, a discourse, a debate, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so that you don't get stuck with the word quarrel. Because otherwise you might start to think like, maybe it doesn't apply to me. Yeah. Anytime you have a disagreement with someone, you can call that a quarrel or an argument or something. Okay? And that's the when. Okay? When do we quarrel? When do we quarrel? When we have a disagreement. Yeah? We have an argument, a quarrel, whenever there's a disagreement. Have you ever quarreled with someone who agreed with you? Yeah. Would someone to come and try? Like, I'm serious. Like, just to get the ball rolling. Yeah. And like last week, I'm going to let you all have some hands-on also. Can I have the wireless mic?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me illustrate a point, okay? Who would like to volunteer? It's okay, no bad karma, okay? Come. Okay, so make a statement about anything. Something very direct. And then try to quarrel with me about that.
I don't like to attend class every day, every Sunday.
You don't like to attend class every Sunday?
Mm.
Very well.
Well. Don't like what? Then ask me why.
I agree with you. You shouldn't have class on Sunday.
Then why you conduct class?
Well, because other people wanted me to conduct. Yeah. But it's okay. You don't have to attend. You see how fast there's no, you cannot you just can't argue when someone agrees with you, you know. who else would like to try? Anybody else? Yes, come. Some statement.
Following from what she said, right?
Wow, okay.
So if you conduct class on Sunday,
yes,
then there will be a group that benefit, and then I cannot benefit.
You cannot benefit. And?
So then that's unfair.
Okay, I agree it's unfair.
Yeah,
yes.
So then you shouldn't do it. So you agree with me that you shouldn't do it.
I agree that I shouldn't do it. Yes.
Then we can all go back and rest.
Yes, we can. Yuan Xiao San Zan Zhu Fan. Thank you very much. Give me a round of applause. Yeah. That's probably the shortest argument everyone ever seen. And now let's try that again.
Okay.
And now I'll try to disagree with you.
Agree with me.
Yeah, the same statement.
The same statement.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like attend class every Sunday.
But why? Why don't you want to attend class?
Don't like, yeah.
Why don't you don't like? You see so many people around here who like.
I got come, you can leave my house early, I got take bus, I got pay bus fare.
Yeah, but all, you know, you got to put in some cost and, you know, you have to put in some effort to get something out of it.
It's my rest day, so
we
rest at home.
Yeah, isn't it restful here? Say yes. I think you don't have to try the second round. The point is, quarrel, if we consider quarrel to be an extended form of argument, the thing is, arguments begin when there's disagreements. Yeah? So, the moment I agree with her, she cannot even continue with the conversation. Yeah, if I don't even humor her. Yeah. And so if those of you who are averse to arguments, yeah, don't want to have conflict, the easiest way is just to agree. Yeah. So then the question that begs to be answered is, why don't we just do that? Why don't everybody do that? Because if everybody do that, I'm sure I'm not the only one or the first one who discovered that, isn't it? Yeah? Then why don't everybody just do that? Then there'll be no arguments. In fact, there'll not be any war at all. You consider the First and Second World War, there were countries who didn't fight. Although it's called World War, not the whole world was at war. Majority of all the continents were at war, but there were some countries in the middle of it that didn't fight. In Europe, do you know which country didn't fight? Switzerland. Yeah, Switzerland chose to remain neutral, but it meant that whoever wanted to pass by, you know, they had to let them pass by. You want to pass by? Sure, go ahead. Yeah, we are neutral in your fight. I'm not involved in your fight. How about Southeast Asia? There's one country that remained neutral.
Thailand.
Yeah. There are those who, you know, in the aftermath, look at them as like, yala, you sabo us. You let them cross over. Yeah, but I always, as much as I'm Chinese, I'm Buddhist and all, while I really appreciate our forefathers for putting up a fight, but I always wonder, what if we didn't put up a fight? What if we just say, welcome, Shinan, you know, yeah, Nihongo, wakarimasu. You know, if we just, you know, whoever come, yeah, sure, come. Then we wouldn't ever fight. Now, before you think that that's like, oh, that's so weak, you know, in one of the sutta about the Buddha's past life, that's what he advocated. He said that in the past, there was a king who was well-liked by his people. He ruled very justly. Yeah, and there was a neighboring state that repeatedly wanted to attack them. And finally, they planned and launched an attack. And when their army marched towards the city gate, the king went forward and asked them what they want. And they said they want to attack the country. They said, but why do you want to attack the country? And the enemy king was like, we want to rule your country. Then it's like, well, you just have to ask. You don't have to attack us. If you want to rule country, sure. But can you promise to rule the country justly and make sure that everybody's welfare is taken care of? I said, okay. I mean, you know, if you put it that way. And that's what he did. But then there was a string attached. And it's that the king who was being invaded had to surrender. And so when he surrendered, he was captured and then basically imprisoned somewhere. Yeah, but he allowed that. And so the opposing state took over the place and ran the country and everything was okay. Yeah. So there are many accounts of a non-confrontational approach. Yeah. So before we go into how to quarrel effectively, if you ask yourself, why do you want to quarrel, and why do you want to quarrel effectively? Yeah. And then one of the options is, perhaps, just don't quarrel first, to begin with. Yeah. Because we must know that for a quarrel to start, there must be two persons who disagree, firstly. Secondly, both must insist. For us to disagree, that's normal. We are all different people. Think about all the decisions, all the viewpoints you have had in your whole life. Do you always stick to the same viewpoint? We don't, isn't it? Yeah. And if I dare say so, sometimes decisions that we have made today, we resigned over those decisions, we change our mind just a few days later. And in some cases, we even change our mind the very next day. Worst case scenario, halfway through the discussion, we change our mind. Have you ever encountered this? Yeah? Maybe ourselves, maybe someone whom you're arguing with. Yeah. And this is where it becomes really interesting. Because number one, if we change our mind so easily, you know, the Buddha advised his disciples to observe. 观心无常, to observe that the mind is impermanent, transient, in a state of flux. How fast does the mind change? He says, like as swift as an arrow that is being shot by an archer. No, not just that. As swift as a flash of lightning, as swift as a snap of a finger. So swift, so fast that it can change. Yeah. So way before we consider how to quarrel or argue effectively, we should consider why we want to argue. Given that our mind changed so fast, our decisions that we hold so strongly today, that we insist and, you know, we are ready to, yeah, to spend minutes and hours to have debates, yeah, and online, yeah, until late at night, 11 plus 12, your wife or husband asks you to go and sleep, and you're like, no, I must reply to this guy. And the next morning, we've never been so religious to wake up early in the morning and quickly check. Oh, and then at different time zones, so you can have a 24-hour rally, you know. Yeah, so consider. Yeah. And this is to the why. Why do we argue? So we all agree that there must be a disagreement. And further, from the disagreement, all parties must insist or must persist. If any parties were to take a step back and say, okay, it's fine, yeah, then you can't have an argument. So why do we argue? So this is where you all have to participate. Yeah. Why do you... Can you all think about the last time or the last few times you argued? A show of hands, how many of you have argued in the past 3 months? What a quarrelsome bunch. Well, I raised my hand as well. How about in the past 1 month? Oh, it's still quite a... Past 3 weeks. What do y'all do in your free time? Past 2 weeks. Okay, I'm glad the number is finally dropping. Past 1 week. I'm very tempted to ask whether anybody just argued with anyone today. But I think I will hold for the last, you know. So, think about it. Okay, pick one of those occasions where you argued with someone, yeah, or quarreled. And I want you to just think about the reason why. Yeah. Besides the fact that there's a disagreement and that both parties persist, yeah, or insist, then what else do you want to achieve? Why do you want to continue or start the argument to begin with? Yes? You feel that there is injustice, so you want to right the wrong. Mm. You're the right, the wrong. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Wait. Maybe it should be the other way around. Injustice. To right the wrong. Okay? Why else? What other reasons are there for us to get into an argument? Are we all justice fighter? We are all part of the Justice League. What else? What other reasons?
Feelings are hurt.
Our feelings are being hurt. So, what by arguing, what do you hope to do? Let me just take a step back. feelings are being hurt. Let me just write that down first, okay? And then we explore. Feelings are hurt. And okay, so it's still to right at the wrong, and then misunderstood. I heard misunderstood somewhere. Yes. What else?
Ego
has been bruised. So ego is related to the feeling. Yeah. So. Ego, capital G, capital E. Let's just put everything in caps. Yeah. Yes?
Implementing changes to meet the long-term strategy. The long-term goal, I would say.
Long-term strategic goal.
It's about implementing change.
Implementing change. So we quarreled to implement change.
As a different perspective.
Okay. So the implementation of changes. And that is, so implementation of changes, would you all agree that implementation of changes don't always involve arguments or quarrel? Yeah, that this is one of the avenue. So by quarreling, what are we trying to do? Yes, sir. So by quarreling, what are we trying to do?
It's about convincing my ex-boss.
Okay. So leave your ex-boss aside. To convince the other party that who is right. The change is necessary. So, to convince the other party. The other party. So, implementation of change is a specific context. So, to make it generic, this is basically differing point of views, yeah, which is the disagreement part. Yeah. And what we are trying to do to to argue about it is basically to convince the other party of whose stand. Our stand or his stand? Our stand. Yeah? It's about our stand. Oh, because it's already proven. We know for a fact. Yeah, everybody know except your boss. You do know that we are actually recording. Oh, ex-boss, no wonder, like, what do I care? Like, didn't give me a good farewell party as well, so I don't care. Yeah. So convince the other party, yeah, of our stand. Versus their stand. And of course, to be fair, whose stand is correct? Our stand. So their stand is actually very small. This is how everybody feel, you know. There's seldom anyone who get in an argument, and then halfway through, if a third party, a biter, come in and say, okay, stop, and ask party A, do you think you're correct? And then A said, no, I don't think I'm correct. You know, like, there's never any argument where a third party asks both parties, who do you think is correct? I think he's correct. Almost never. Yeah. So that's the other thing that must happen before an argument can start. Yeah. Oftentimes. Okay? Oftentimes. That we must feel that we are correct. They are wrong. 我对你错, 所以跟你吵架. Yeah. So, anything else? Yes.
Calling for help.
Calling for help. So
you quarrel. Sometimes because we don't know how to tell people what we want to say, so we just
when quarrel with them, lah.
Quarrel. This is just a way of calling for help.
Okay, two things. First thing, don't laugh, because I have counseled individuals who are really helpless and don't know how else to, you know, let their situation be known. So they end up quarreling. There are also those who somehow, I don't know where they got this from, that they think that when that this is an approach that can work. Yeah. So the first thing is, let's, you know, not laugh about it. But I'm kind of sort of jumping the gun first, okay? To say that quarreling to ask for help is perhaps something that we want to revisit. Okay, which we will probably look at in a short while. Yeah, because let me ask you, just generally, okay? If someone quarrel with you, given what we have just discussed, yeah, that when we quarrel with people, we think we are correct and the other person is wrong. So when someone quarrel with you, do you think that person think you are wrong? You know what I mean? Yeah? So, that being the case, how likely is it that when we quarrel with people, that people would think that we are looking for them for help or looking for them for trouble? You know what I mean? But hold that thought first. I'm not trying to dismiss it just like that, but just to quickly, you know, in a way, jump the gun to highlight that while I have seen and for myself, people who do that, yeah. But we're going to revisit this to explore. Okay, what other approaches are there to reach that goal? Okay. Mm. Any other things about why? Yes. When people don't keep their words, we quarrel with them. Okay. And what are we trying to achieve by quarreling? To get them to keep their words or not keep their words? So the argument is to... okay. So let me just write down these 2 points first. So one of them is to get help. And the other one is to get people to... to keep their words. Okay, so the why, the why actually, in a way, would slowly also include the end goal, yeah, because our intent is more about the why, and then from the intent, it should lead to some goal, yeah. So, to reach that goal, there is the how. Yeah? Why is more like the intent leading to the how, and then we have the result. So, before we go into the how, what kind of result do we want, given the kind of why that we have explored? Now, a bit of recap, we have the agreement, both parties don't step down, and we tend to think that we are correct, the other party is wrong. Yeah, and so we are trying to right the wrong, we are trying to convince the other party of our stand, which is the correct one, yeah, and it's clearly evident, everybody knows, you check Wikipedia, it's correct also, and you are wrong. Yeah, including the cases where people don't keep their words. There are many different reasons why people don't keep their words. Sometimes it's because they can't keep their words. Yeah. So we could sort of categorize it into inability to keep their words because they are objectively unable to. Yeah. That could be due to the fact that they overpromise, overcommit, or they underestimated themselves. Yeah. Or rather overestimated themselves. Yeah. So that means the first category I want to quickly sum up to be cases where it is not by choice that they don't keep their words. Okay? Yeah. But due to external factors, due to their own overestimation, then they cannot keep their words. Yeah. Second category would be those who willfully don't keep their words. Willfully don't keep their words. For example, if I were to set the SGC to be at 4 a.m. every Sunday, how many of you would come? Okay, let's give you some allowance. 5. I don't even know whether I can come. I mean, if I stay here, no problem, you know. Yeah, so if it's at an unearthly hour, that's too unearthly, then logistically it's a bit difficult. And so in some cases, then people cannot keep their words because of such factors. Yeah, maybe some of you say, no, Sifu, if you said at 3 a.m., I will come also. But in the end, you come at 3:30 or 3 o'clock. You'll come at 3 o'clock.
Oh.
Three a.m.
Yeah,
well. You still come on. Who's scared who? Better don't challenge. One p.m. So, second category would be those who willfully choose to not keep their words. Would you all agree that the first category probably is not what we're trying to go after? Because in the first category, they are not able to do it, not by choice. They are simply unable to do it. Yes?
Usually the argument comes about is those who, they cannot keep their words, but then they refuse to accept
that they cannot keep their words.
Then they put the blame on you. Who asked you to go and set this one then? Because you set wrongly. Then it's like, you promised, I really informed you, but still, you shouldn't have set this timing. Like, if not, you set this timing.
They will blame everybody except themselves. So this will be one particular case of the first category where, you know, maybe we can knock some sense into them. Yeah. Then if we look at the second category, what's interesting is, how about those who willfully don't keep their words? Do you think it's worth the time to quarrel with them? They already willfully not keep their words, what? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yes.
So you are saying that if we expect this strawberry generation to be like that, then we should expect them to keep their words, like, is that right?
I would fire them. Yeah, I will fire until they become ripe. you ask those youth in my class.
In the real world, it's very hard.
I'm in the real world, so. last I checked, I'm in the real world as well. I do have students who make appointments to meet me, and then they are late. Yeah, you know what I do to them? Over time, people know my style, so they know jolly well that they have to stick to the time, and they should text me beforehand. Otherwise, I'll spend the first half an hour giving them a mouthful. Yeah, I'm serious. I do that to people, even though they are there to seek me for counseling. Because to me, many times people's problem stems from their attitude. And if your attitude is like that to come to seek counseling, what kind of attitude is this? Yeah. I've even ever... Now, I'm saying this with too much joy. but you know why after you hear the context. I have students who would... like, if the appointment is at 4, they text me or they call me at 4 to tell me they are sick. Like, what? Did you just fall sick in the past 5 minutes or half an hour or something? Because unless you stay next door, you cannot call me at 4 at the appointment time. You know what I mean? Yeah. And to me, it's about... I don't give a... Okay, I shouldn't say that. I don't think it's right for us to... Because, we say they are strawberry generation, so we lower our standard. Yeah. Nobody ever get better with lowered standard. You go to the gym, I can't carry 10 kg. Oh, okay, 9. But 9 is very tiring. 8 lor. 8. But 8 after a while also sian. Okay, then stand there lah. Just stand there. Like, and then somehow, yeah, like if you stand long enough, ooh, look at this. Ooh. It doesn't work that way. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. So, a long time ago, many years back, there was one student. At that point in time, I was managing several teams. So, I was so caught up with meetings that if the person who turned up don't call me or come and see me, I can't attend to them because I have other things to attend to. So the person came like 1 hour plus later and then told me like, sorry, sir, I'm late. I'm like, huh? Why? Did we have an appointment? They said, yeah. What time was our appointment? About 4:30. Then I'm like, what time is it now? 5:30 or 6. Then I'm like, but you're supposed to be here at 4:30, right? And then the person was like, yeah, so sorry. Blah, blah, blah. And then the person asked me, so, super, are you free now? You see, most people will do a few things. Either, sit now. That's the first response. Second response is, because you're very bang, ma. My time, not time, ma. So, but yet we want to be nice, ma. Then we say, you come back later, la. Why? Because very bang. So don't want to entertain them. But don't want to be a bad person also, ma. So tell a white lie. Yeah. Although you're free, say you're not free. Right? You all do that. Sifu, cannot lie, ma. So I just tell the person, I'm free. Then the person said, so can we have a meeting now? I said, no. And the person asked, why? I said, because you're late. Although I'm free, I'm not doing anything now, I'm just surfing the web. I'm not going to see you. Yeah. I know that if I do that, people would feel very annoyed. People feel upset. People feel like, wow, don't feel good, basically. Sometimes I even tell them, you don't feel good. Then they go, yeah. Yeah, that's good. You should not feel good. Why should everybody be about trying to make people feel good? If you miss an appointment and late for so long and you never even, why should I make any attempt to make you feel good? You deserve to feel miserable for a short while. You know, my aim is not to make people feel miserable, but you know, if it helps them to remember and then keep their appointment, I think it's a worthwhile pain. But that aside, I digress. In cases where people outrightly don't make effort, and are people who just don't want to keep their words, there are other things to do than to argue with them. Yeah. And that is about intent also. Yeah. Their intent, their integrity. Yeah. So the moment if you find that the reason for them not to keep their words is because of their intent. They outrightly want to think nila. Yeah, they come up with all kinds of stupid reason or nonsense. Then that's where you have to ask yourself, okay, if you are going to be like that, then I don't have to discuss with you anymore. Yeah. Because don't waste your time. Yeah? So I would say that in such cases, we argue to try to get people to be reasonable. Yeah? So this is actually to get people to reason. Yeah. So this is the result. Yeah. So result, are we trying to prove that we are correct? How many of you agree that when we argue, we are trying to prove that we are correct? Only Thomas is honest about it. The rest? How many of you argue not to prove that you're correct? Everybody do. So to prove that we are correct, we are right. That is, they are wrong. Yeah? Isn't it? That's the whole point of argument, right? Does that summarize all our attempts? All the different why that we have to right the wrong, injustice, to convince the other party, is also about our stand versus their stand. Even to get people to keep their words, yeah, is to get them to reason. And we are coming from a standpoint that our reason is correct, your reason is wrong. Your twisted way of reasoning. Yeah. I told you earlier that my mom she's one who has seen me argue so much in my life. Yeah, but she is at the same time someone who can't stand arguments. Yeah, so we are always having this. We were always having this like dance, you know. Yeah, at home, like when she's busy or when she's not at home or what, then somehow I will find myself in some arguments with my sisters. No brothers. Yeah, they say that boys will fight. I didn't have any brothers, so I didn't fight with anyone. Over the years, I honed the art of quarreling. Yeah. It got a boost in school when we learned about argumentative essay. Yeah, where you learn to write the pros and the cons. Yeah, support and to disagree. Yeah, it's science for the benefit of mankind. Discuss. Oh, then you write. First of all, what is science? And then you cite different examples. Yeah. And then, like any good debater, you have to listen to the other person's argument. And from there, you tear down the argument systematically, logically, and categorically. Yeah. So, I spent many years... okay, the way I put it is as though my whole life was just about arguing with people. No. There were many times where I find myself in situations trying to convince people. Yeah. What my mom saw as quarrels, to me, it was just trying to get some point across. Yeah, but Chinese are not very comfortable with this. But over the years, there was one thing that I've come to realize, which is this, that we are always trying to prove that we are right and that the other party is wrong. Before we continue to the how, I want to just perhaps make an attempt to tear this down. If we start off an argument with a fixed view that we are right and they are wrong, and if they do the same thing, then what are you trying to do? Yeah, if it's a fixed view, and if yours is as fixed as theirs, why should theirs be any less concrete than yours? And if everybody thinks so, all you have is a quarrel with no end. And in the end, all you can say is, I agree to disagree. Which really doesn't do anything for anyone, really. So, if I dare suggest, before we start any quarrel or argument, granted, it would be even more foolish. It would be foolish to start an argument knowing that you are wrong. So, the first thing is, thinking that you are right is fine. Okay? And the key word is, thinking you are right. Yeah. To realize that it is just your opinion to begin with. Even if you are like, you know, airtight, sure, you know, that you are right. Don't go in with this kind of attitude, because from the other side, you're just this snob, you know. You're just this self-righteous fella who is trying to prove that you're right. Yeah, so to set the atmosphere and also our attitude. Yeah, don't go in thinking and assuming you're right. Because, why? Because it will shape the how. If you go in thinking that you're right, the way you put things across is going to be oftentimes condescending. Yeah, down-putting. Because your assumption is, I'm right, you're wrong, you're stupid. Yeah, I said it. We think people are stupid. How many of you, when you argue with people, you think that they are stupid? Raise your hand. Yes, thanks for the honesty. No, the rest, you all don't think that they are stupid? Why do you think they have it wrong? Why do you think they are wrong? They are misinformed.
Time have changed.
Huh?
Time have changed.
Yeah, and so if they stick on to the wrong view, they are stupid, right? Okay, sure. Stubborn or stupid. Which of you think that the other party is wrong because they are stubborn? You see, even this is very important, you know, to realize that we feel that way towards people. Yeah, I mean, it's okay. If you think that I'm stupid, okay, no, you think I'm stupid. No. But at least you must know that you think that way and be able to admit that, I think your idea is very stupid. And if you hold on to the idea, you are also stupid. Yeah. Otherwise, why am I arguing with you? If I think you are brilliant, your idea is brilliant. If both things are brilliant, why am I arguing with you? If I argue with a person who is brilliant, and I know that he is brilliant, then I'm the one who is stupid. So if I'm not, then of course you are stupid. At least I think you are stupid. Didn't expect this Dharma talk to go this way. This is important because until we realize that we consciously or unconsciously do think that way about people, we cannot be truly honest about the argument. Because only when you see that you feel that way, then you can say, okay, I need to manage the way I speak, you know. Thinking in this way is bad enough. If you don't manage it, you're going to start saying things like, what kind of idea is that? Condescending. You cannot be condescending to someone that you think is correct. You think is smart. Yeah. I hold my sentence. Yeah. If any of you feel, no, Sifu, I don't think you are right. I never think that people are stupid. Although, Sifu, you are quite stupid now. So a recap here. To think that we are correct is fine, but don't go in assuming that you are right. Okay? Because if you are already right, what is there to prove? Seriously? Yeah? So, to think so versus assuming so. Now let us sink in for a while. Why is this important? This is important because if you assume you're correct, now recall mathematical induction in JC, in FMATS and MATC. If you're trying to prove something, you cannot assume that it's true first. If you assume it's true, then what's there to prove? Yeah, remember? Yeah. unless you use the proof by contradiction. So you assume it's true, and then you bring in other known constant to show that this creates a contradiction. Then, or not. Okay? But that's maybe too much maths. Yeah, so, but for argument, it works the same way. You cannot go in simply assuming you are correct. Because if you do that, then really all you are trying to do is prove that person wrong. And if there's one thing I've learned from all these 30 over 40 years of argument, is that the best way to argue is not to prove them wrong. Yeah. Don't try to prove them wrong. Try to see whether you can prove yourself wrong. I know it sounds crazy. It's like, who would go into argument trying to prove yourself wrong? But I'll tell you, that is the, ironically, yeah, counterintuitively, one of the best way to go into an argument. To try to prove yourself wrong, because it means that you are arguing on both sides. But why would anyone want to do that? You want to do that if you want to find the truth. If you really want to find the truth, you must argue on both sides. Yeah? You want the right and the wrong. Yeah? You see the right and wrong happening quite a bit, yeah, appearing quite a bit. But if you truly value right and wrong, you truly value justice, you must always argue on both sides. I dare not say that I'm super 100% doing this all the time. But I'm in a way a converted argument, arguer. Yeah. I'll share with you my own encounter. Because since 9 years ago, I started doing weekly translations with my Dharma brother. We started off doing the translation with of this text called Yogacara Bhumisastra. 100 fascicles, 478 or 87 number of lessons that my teacher covered. And of the 100, he only covered first 50. So in the past 9 years, we have only published one set of translation. The second set, which is for the past 5 years, and we are still running through, we went through so many rounds. And in all these sessions, sometimes we would just go through one verse for 2 hours, going back and forth, citing different suttas, you know. And I'll tell you, almost on a weekly basis, we don't always agree on the same thing. Sometimes we don't even agree with my teacher. Sometimes we're like, what did Sifu say? Then we look at the transcripts of the lesson. Then we're like, why on earth did he say that? Amitabha. Sometimes we'll joke like, maybe tonight Sifu will give you a dream. But I'll tell you what happened. There was one day when it was another one of those sessions where we went back and forth. He'll come up with a set of reasonings why it should be translated in a certain way, why a certain word is more suitable, and then I will tear down each of his points categorically. And this is part of the how. If you want to have an argument, ultimately when you decided you want to have an argument, you want to listen to what the other person have to say. Listen. First step of argument is to listen. And after listening, then can you categorically reply to the arguments? How many times have we heard or get into arguments where you say yours, he say his? Huh? Many quarrels are like that, you know. And that's why many quarrels have no ending. Yeah? Quarrels oftentimes end when people lose steam or interest. They just give up. Okay, okay. You don't want that. When I ask for result, I never hear anyone say, I want to wear him out or wear her out. But that's what many times happen, you know. Whoever more chong hei ah, then you win the argument. Because the other person, like initially sitting upright, argue, argue until. You don't want that. Yeah, you really don't want that. So avoid the crossover, yeah, crosstalk. Yeah, and to do that, you need to listen. And whether you agree or disagree with each point, you need to reply to each point. Yeah, I know we have very good points, we have very good stand to make, but we must reply to the opposition's points. Otherwise, he made his stand about his disagreement about your stand. Then you just repeat your stand without countering the stand. Then the other person, seeing that you just reiterate your stand without replying, so he thought that you never hear his stand. And then he repeated the stand again. And then when you hear him repeat the stand again, then you feel like, oh, wow, you want to reinforce your stand. I reinforce my stand again. That's what arguments you typically sound like, isn't it? Just two person repeating the same thing over 2 hours until someone get tired or thirsty, go for a drink or something. Yeah. So what happened was, we would listen to each other's stand or argument, and then we will try to tear it down. And one day, this is what happened. He made a certain stand, then I listened to it, and then after he finished, then I break it down into parts, and then I tear this, and I said, in conclusion, you are correct, and I'm wrong. And then he's like, yes. Then he's like, huh? What? he was like, huh? For a few seconds, he didn't hit him. He was like, good. And then when it sank in, he's like, what? Probably, how many of you have ever in your life, in an argument, argued to the point where the other person tell you, and so I prove that you're correct, I'm wrong. Now, these are exact words. I prove that you're correct, I'm wrong. How many of you have ever had an argument where people do that? Wonderful, isn't it? Yeah? How did you feel when the person, and it's the other person, not you proving, you know, it's the other person proving and concluding that you are actually correct. How did you feel?
Told you so.
Huh?
Told you so.
What?
I told you so.
You what? Oh, I told you so. Wow, this is called 得理不饶人. When you win the argument already, then must be gracious. Don't told you, we didn't have to waste these 2 hours. But did you feel good or bad? Or it was more like, yeah, told you, right? Yeah. Oh, okay. So you genuinely feel that it was a waste of time. How about the other person? Okay. Well, but at least it was clear that he saw your point, but he still wanted his way. Yes? Okay, hang on. How about the question I just made?
Yeah, in relating to you saying that, you know, when a quarrel, we get a jolly fight when people say that you are right, right? But I have an issue, same thing that whereby the old lady said that when the husband passed away, there's nobody to quarrel.
Oh.
Because she is right all the time, so but the husband died. So to her, she finds that when the quarrels are, you know, people to quarrel better than no people to quarrel.
Yeah, that's a bit different, of course, you know.
So it's just the same as what you were saying. I mean, all the time when she quarrel, the husband is there to say that after, at the end, you say that she's right. But then she will quarrel so much, you know, it's just so damaging to the relationship.
So two things, huh? when the old lady said that it's better to have someone to quarrel than not, the point wasn't to quarrel. The point was the companionship. She valued the interaction, the companionship. Never mind the fact that it took the shape of a quarrel. So this is what I hear from what you say about that old lady's statement. The second part is, in a case where people say that you are right, very key thing, was it a very clear, concise, step-by-step analysis and dissection that lead to a firm conclusion that we are right? Or is it more like, okay, like, you're right. It's very different. It's very different. Because when a person, halfway through the argument, is like, you're right, the person is just trying to end the argument. The person is no longer interested in trying to have the argument anymore. Yeah, so that, to me, that is not helpful also. You don't want to get an argument to have that. Because that's basically wearing out that person. So, the point about the example of the translation was, my Dharma brother, he was quite surprised. Yeah, he was like, huh? What do you mean? And I told him, I said, yeah, I just proved that your argument is correct. Your stand is actually correct. My stand is wrong. So, let's go with your choice. My point about this is, it gave me a very different angle. I didn't set off planning it consciously in this way, you know. But it was basically that over time, I realized that I was more interested in the case of the translation to find out what is the best translation. Because if we translate wrongly and the text gets passed out, there's a lot of karma involved, you know. If you get the meaning of the sutra or the sastra translated wrongly, and people, because of your wrong translation, get a wrong view, oh, a very heavy penalty. Yeah, so because of that context, I was genuinely trying to find the truth and not simply trying to prove myself right. So it was a side benefit. I learned really how to argue. Argue to find the truth, not to prove them wrong or we right. The side effect of that is not just finding the truth. That when that happened, I don't know whether it was conscious, but I noticed that from then on, there was a very different interaction. I believe it was because that session forged a new sense of trust. Because then he knew that I'm not just arguing to prove myself right. Then he has the faith that we are both on the same page, trying to find the best translation. Yeah. And this is one of the best things I've gotten from all the arguments. Yeah. And I would hope that you not stop arguing, but to argue for the truth. And I tell you, initially, your friends or family or even colleagues may have doubts about your intent. But if you stay consistent with that, and to stay consistent, it means that sometimes, if you know that part of the argument that you are going to reveal will weaken your stand, and you willingly open it up to weaken your stand, then you may lose the argument, but you win the trust. Because then the other person knows that you're not going to hide facts just to win. Which is what sometimes we do, isn't it? Or at least we think people do. Yeah? And with this kind of people, do we trust their words? We don't trust their words. Yeah. So it's not always in the precept of lying that we talk about trust. Even in an argument, there must be trust. Yeah? Now, weeks later, then there was one time where every week we will have a lot of arguments and discussion. Then one day, it was my turn to, you know, come out with all sets of reasonings and arguments and everything. And then when I finished, he thought about it and then he said, "Well, okay, I think that sounds fair." And then he just proceeded to make the change and went on to the next verse. And then when he saw that I wasn't moving, I was like, "Wait, I think let's take a look again." Then I said, "But I thought I said I'm okay with it." Then I told him, I said, "Well, you agreed too readily. Now I'm afraid that we get blindsided." You know what I mean? When we argue with people, most of us, including myself last time, I'll be more than happy if I, after a few rounds, and a person says, "Yeah, I think you are right, you know." We'd be too happy to say, "Yeah, told you so." And we just go ahead, you know. Yeah. But again, because of the context, yeah, because it's a translation, when he agreed too quickly, then I'm afraid that there's no counter-check, you know. There's no independent person to oversight what I have suggested. Yeah. So I said, no, I think we need to go through the arguments again. And that's why I suggest, when you argue, don't argue with a person. Argue on the statement. Argue for truth. Not to see who is right, but what is right. Because then you take the ego out of the equation. Otherwise, you have the ego in the equation. It's all about you being right, you know. Yeah. So, over the years, I would say that we used to be ex-colleagues. He was with product marketing. So we work on a few projects, but never really close enough to really have arguments. Yeah, he's a devout Buddhist, practicing Buddhist. But I would say that this 9 years of doing translation and having all our weekly arguments really, you know, strengthen our friendship. Yeah. To me, arguments don't always have to mean like having unhappiness in between. Yeah. So, I haven't written down the how, but I've gone through the hows actually. I want to just bring in a few suttas. The first one is from the Sutta Nipata. Is it Sutta Nipata? I think it's Sutta Nipata. Or is it the Sanyutta Nikaya? The sutta is called Subha Sita Sutta. Yeah, the title is Well Spoken. Yeah, Subha Sita means well spoken. So in this sutta, a few points is being mentioned that before we speak, yeah, this is above and beyond arguments, but applies to all kinds of speech. Things to consider before we speak. The first is whether it's well spoken. The second is whether it's just, yeah, right or wrong. The third is whether it's endearing. Yeah. And the fourth is whether it's truthful. The first one, whether it's well-spoken, what does it mean? It means whether is it harmless or harmful. So, a bit to do with our intent. When we speak, intent plus the how, the why and the how. Are we speaking to hurt the other person? In our case, in our context of argument, are we speaking just to, you know, tear down the person's argument? Is that our sole intent? To prove that they are wrong. You know, or to find out what is the truth. Are we speaking to benefit the other person? I'm sharing on this, not because I'm a super good arguer, but I've learned a lot of ways not to argue. You all have seen my mom and dad. My dad, in the past, before he went a bit doo-doo, dementia and all, he would drive. So the best way to get two persons to argue is to put father and son in one car. Yeah, I tell you, whether it's the father driving or son driving, oh, I tell you, best. At least for me and my father. When he's driving, I will always be like, yeah. Or I'll be telling him like, hey, hit out, then he will like, when he don't really argue, when he's into that zone already, he will, he'll make this sound. I'll be like, okay, too much. But I would do it, you know. Before I become a monk, after I become a monk, I would still sometimes do it. Sometimes I do it consciously because I would tell him like, because he would sometimes drive the car putting himself in the middle of the lane. You know, Singapore, you drive on the right side, right? So the driver should be slightly off-center. I mean, in all roads, the driver is always off-center. But he would drive his car, putting himself in the center. Meaning that I'm on the other lane already. So, I mean, I'm just speaking for my own well-being. Like, But then, my comments, it's not really argument, but my comments, yeah? My comments would extend to his parking. Yeah, why? Because when he park, like when you have a reverse parking, right? You would go this, and then one time, okay, got him. Yeah, parallel parking, okay, got him. For him, Oh boy. But I appreciate him. In the past, when I was going for talks, he would drive me to the places. After he retired, when he has time, and then there's a car lying around, he'd drive me around. But my occasional comment created some tension. Like the old lady, I really wish he would have a banter with me now. Yeah.
So actually, for me, I think that it's not in a quarrel, it's to find out more, because when a person quarrel, they also come up with a lot of their own speech and thinking. So that is the way I also find out what actually troubles the person, but it's very damaging to all relationships because the other party, most of them, doesn't take it that a quarrel is meant to find out as well.
So about that, to sidetrack and answer your point, right? There are many ways to seek help. There are many ways to communicate. Arguments and quarrel is not always the best way. Yeah, it is. I do recognize that. Through arguments, we can get to know each other. 不打不相识, right? Sometimes you have to fight. Don't fight. I remember what my sister said to me once. She said, in any relationship, don't start screaming and shouting at each other. The first time you do it, you raise your voice towards your partner. It makes it that much easier to raise your voice again. And after a while, it becomes a norm. Anytime you're not happy, you raise your voice. Anytime you're not happy, you raise your voice. What is the outcome? The tenderness is lost. That gam jing gone. You iron clothes, you cook 365 days every week. Gam jing gone. Yeah. Initially, wow, so grateful. Gone. So, where was I? Ah, yes. So, the comments also created a lot of tension. Yeah. So, one day, we arrived back home, And then he hasn't do the somersault yet. And the first round, when he went in, he was going to adjust further. So I told him, I said, Pa, what can Mama think? Yeah, that I will go up with Mom first. Then he said, okay. So we went into the lift. My mom came in. Then when we were on our way up, I told my mom, I said, what Tao Sing, then my mom smiled. Then she said, do you understand Hokkien? Who don't understand? Anyone don't understand Hokkien? So I told my mom that I almost opened my mouth again to comment. Then my mom said, then why didn't you comment? I said, I caught myself and I asked myself, will commenting help him? And I realized that, no, it doesn't help him. Not today anyway. So I didn't comment. Then my mom said, I was already a monk. Then she said, today you have wisdom. I give so much Dharma talk, she never say I have wisdom. What is wisdom? Yeah, to see, and in a way, that is wisdom, no, for her to say that. Yeah, because you can say whatever Dharma thought, but if at that point you cannot catch yourself, you cannot act for the welfare of yourself and others, then you are not wise. You have no wisdom. So right speech is about wisdom as well. To know when to speak, the right time to speak, to question yourself more than questioning others. Question yourself, why are you saying this? Yeah. So that day in the car, yeah, I caught myself. And it's a very interesting experience when you catch yourself. It's like, ooh? Hmm? Yeah. To suddenly realize you have a choice. To regain back that freedom to choose. You know, we talk about freedom to do this, to say that. In Buddhism, the real freedom is the freedom to choose. To choose wisely, to act fruitfully, wholesomely. Yeah. For the welfare of ourselves and others. Yeah, so whether it's well spoken or not, check yourself. And this will apply to arguments also. Sometimes getting into arguments can help each other learn more. Sometimes the person can see different points of view. And in some cases, even if they see the point of view, they may still disagree with it. And this is the important part about arguments, you know. That just because we see it and they hear it, doesn't mean they must accept it. Yeah. If you go into argument with a fixed mindset, I'm correct and you must accept, then be a dictator. If you want that outcome, you should be going the path of a dictatorship. Then you can force people to agree with you. Just, whether something is just or not. Yeah, is it fair or is it not fair? Yeah. Again, just is about welfare. Oftentimes, we look at our welfare. Nothing wrong with looking at our own welfare. I mean, nothing wrong with that. But to also consider the other person's welfare. The part about endearing is interesting. Because it is about whether it is welcome or not. In a way, the part that I saw in the car park was more about this. I realized that if I made any comment, it was not going to be endearing to him, not at that point in time. And over the years, I'm very glad that over the years, before my dad go into a bit more dementia, yeah, I catch myself and I realized that, yeah, you know, while with the best intent, I was trying to help him drive better. But then one day I asked myself, he has been driving for 40 over years. How long have I been driving anyway? Yes, Tony. And so I realized, Yeah. Who am I to tell him? And so I started to praise him where it deserves praising. Sometimes people try too hard, you know, everything praise. Then when you praise for everything, then nothing is worth the praise. You know? Yeah, so I will try my best to look for things worthy of praise, to praise him. Like when he arrived, he parked, yeah? If he take a long time to park, I don't praise that. Then I'll praise and say, oh, you got us here safely, you know? Yeah. Maybe that day he was speeding quite a bit. Then I'll say, oh, you got us here very fast. Just focus on the good part first. Because that opened him up for more comments from me. Then when I, you know, you give five praises and then you give one neutral comment, I'm more likely to accept. After 10, 15 praises, then you give one criticism, yeah, okay, yeah, I will take that in mind. You give 15 criticism and one praise, cannot hear the praise, huh? What? But sometimes we forget all these lessons. Like when I deal with Siapusa, I forget, I reset again. Wow, this one cannot like that. So once in a while, I fall sick. When I fall sick, everything is okay. So number four is, whether it's truth. Whether it's true. Very interesting, if you look through the Nikayas, in many suttas, the Buddha don't say that because it's true, you must say it, you know. Yeah. Just because it's true doesn't mean you must say it. My favorite example is, after a Dharma class, 9:30, in Buddhist library, then you walk to the MRT, halfway through, yeah. Or Xiao Jie asks Thomas, 帅哥, 去哪里? Musawada Viramani Sakapada Samadhi Ami. Must tell the truth. 回家. Oh, 回家这么早. 住哪里? Where do you stay?
NTU.
回大学. 哇, 才子啊. 电话几号? Doesn't mean that you must say it just because it's true. But similarly for arguments. Just because you're right doesn't mean you must argue also, you know. I say this because I'm a very good example. I spent my whole life, not whole life, but again. 现在收敛很多了. 小不少有没有听到我现在收敛很多了? How amazing the Dharma. So, yeah, there's another sutta that I want to share lastly. There's some bad overlap. So this sutta, yeah, how come keep asking me about this? What happened now? Disconnect. Huh? Bohu? Singa is it? Whole thing went blank?
Huh?
No, did I just accidentally deleted the whole thing? Did I? I did. Oh, okay. Wow. 这个亏我这个电脑神通. Okay, like. So the second sutta I wanted to highlight. There are many suttas. I just pick out two. Majjhima Nikaya 58, Abhaya Sutta. So this sutta is very interesting. It's between Prince Abhaya and the Buddha. So this prince asked the Buddha, do you always say things that is nice to hear? Yeah. Do you never say things... like, is it the case where whatever people say, you will agree or disagree? So the Buddha said, no, not always. Yeah, it depends. Yeah. It's not always that I will say this. It's not always that I will say that. Then the Buddha asked the prince. The prince was holding his son. So the Buddha asked him, if now your son has something in his mouth, in his throat, and he's choking, what would you do? And Prince said, oh, I will quickly remove it. You know, it's life-threatening. And the Buddha asked, and if necessary, would you do it even if it draw blood? He said, yes, of course, if it can save his life. And the Buddha said, in the same way, depending on what is necessary, then the Buddha would say it, yeah, for the welfare and benefit of the other person. And then, in turn, the Buddha listed down a few criteria. We have gone through some of them, which appears here again. Yeah. So the criteria, one would be truth, two would be benefit, three would be whether it's endearing or agreeable, four would be timing, and five is to speak with sympathy and compassion. Yeah. These are pretty much standard set that you see appearing in many suttas. Truth being one of them, yeah, but it's not always that it's true that you must say. Benefit, yeah. We tend to think that because it's true, then it will definitely benefit you. Not always. Sometimes timing is important. And I would say, sometimes, not just timing and whether it's true or not, but the messenger, unfortunately. You know the saying, don't kill the messenger. Yeah? Or don't judge the message by the messenger. Unfortunately, the fact that there is such a statement, don't judge the message by the messenger, is precisely because we tend to judge the message by the messenger. What does it mean? It means that if you see a photo on Facebook, an image on Facebook with a photo of Dalai Lama, and then some words, you're more likely to, wow, how wise. You see Sifu's photo? That's why a lot of people put nice messages with pictures of the Buddha. Nowadays, it's also quite common, good messages with photos of beautiful girls. Yeah, there are some pages. The messages are beautiful, you know. Yeah, but they draw attention first. Put a nice lady's photo. Yeah. Some websites, when they post onto Facebook, the cover photo has nothing to do with the message itself, the article itself. Unfortunately, we are like that. That's why all those websites can, you know, rake in so much hits and views. Now, knowing that, how does that affect how we deal with arguments? It means that before you start the argument, you've got to ask yourself, are you the right person to argue? Sometimes you may have the best idea, you know. Yeah. But maybe you are not the right person to deliver it. Then you've got to ask yourself, what are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to simply be the one to speak the truth? Or to help the person realize the truth? Even for myself, one thing that I learned about this part, yeah, so-called as a sifu, huh, I realized that yeah, not everybody will listen to me. 没有法缘, huh? Do you believe that sometimes I sit down with some students, they come for counseling or catch up or something. Sit down, 你看我看你, 没有几句话, 他问一句, 我答一句, 我问一句, 他答一句, cannot believe, right? Well, Sifu, are you sure? You're so talkative. But it's true, you know. Some people, no 法缘, you sit down there, nothing, no. 不能要讲什么, I have a kind of very few lah. Yeah. But some where there's really some connection with the Dharma, yeah. I don't start off, okay, let's look at this, the Majjhima Nikaya. No, I'll just sit down and ask them, what's your name? I write down your name for me. Yeah, what are you doing? Just chit-chat. Then in the end, Dharma will be inside. So over the years, I realized that, yeah, not everybody is suitable to deliver the message. Don't take it personally, it's not about you. Because if it's about you, then you are having the wrong priority. It's about the truth or about you? About helping people see one side of the truth or the whole truth? Or is it about you being the messenger? Yeah, so over the years, sometimes I will tell students, you go and look for this venerable. Like the other day, someone told me that he wants to learn Fa Qi. You know, the instruments. I'm like, Ying Qing, gao mi ding. Can la, Ying Qing, can la. So I told him, go and look for Yu Wei Fa Shi in Di Zhang Ling. Yeah. Then like, some of you want to learn Abhidhamma. Then this morning I was thinking, if some of you want to learn Abhidhamma, I know of this Buddhist, lay Buddhist. She spent 7 years in Sri Lanka learning the Shravasivadan Abhidhamma. Dr. Li Feng Ming. If you want to learn about the Shravasivadan Abhidhamma, I can look for here. If you want to learn Qing Qing Dao Lun from a Chinese Mahayana monk, I can go and look for Ji Guang Fa Shi. I learned that if we truly care about the other person, then focus on what the person needs, not your need. Then I find that we become more effective to render the help, including arguing. So, this is today's sharing. How to quarrel effectively. went through a bit of things. The team, they will be uploading into YouTube, and then maybe there are some parts they will put into excerpts. So take a look. Today went quite a bit, so didn't have a chance to let you all quarrel. but I'm sure you all have a lot of opportunities to do that already. Did you all go back and try active listening? You all try? How was it? Okay. Part of active listening is really to just keep quiet and listen. Yeah. Part of argument is also to do that. The trouble is sometimes when we usually argue when we are emotionally charged. Try to catch that. Try not to get into arguments when you are emotionally charged. Because if you are emotionally charged, we are usually not listening. You are boiling already. Boiling with what? Boiling with ideas to throw at the person. Verbal diarrhea at the person. So if you find yourself in that state, maybe you may want to observe your breath for a while, calm down first, and sort out your thoughts first. Learn to sort out your arguments and argue on both sides first to yourself before you argue with others. I already told you, I'm a self-professed arguer. So I've sat down in discussions, debates and arguments with many people, and halfway through they'll be lost with their own points, and I'm like, wait, have you not thought through this? And many people would at some point confess to me like, but Shifu, we don't always think through everything before, so you must expect that we may change our point of view. I guess not everybody planned the argument or think through things, so surprise people. Really think through things first and argue on both sides of the argument. Because sometimes I would sit down with people and they will come up with all kinds of points, and I'm like, I thought through that. There are a few repercussions, and this is a... Because when you do that, it helps with the argument, and more importantly, it shows the other person that you are not just acting on emotions. You have thought through it. Yeah. Oh. And in the whole process, listen to what that person have to say. Yeah. And I'm sort of recapping. And reply to the other person. Yeah. Don't just repeat the same point. Remember, repeating the same point 10 times doesn't increase its value 10 times. It just makes you a nagger. not eager, a nagger. Yeah. And then last but not least, argue not to prove them wrong. Yeah. Argue, maybe I should write this down. Argue not to prove them wrong, but to find the truth. Thank you. All right, that's all I have for today. Okay, yes, it's 3:20. Every week, every Saturday, I think to myself, tomorrow I shall end at 2:30 and surprise them. And then every Sunday, I surprise myself. 不要讲回想。 愿消三障诸烦恼，愿消三障诸烦恼，愿得智慧遮明了，愿得智慧遮明了，普愿罪障悉消除，普愿罪障悉消除，世世常行菩萨道，世世常行菩萨道，阿弥陀佛，起立。